This is the Wednesday after Easter. We're in actually Easter week. As you probably all know, Easter lasts 50 days until we get to the day of Pentecost. And technically, even though we call it the day of Pentecost, it's somewhat still an Easter. But here, the Wednesday after Easter, you've got to set the setting because the scriptures tend to lead into that direction. The death was not even 7 days ago, actually 5 days ago. The resurrection was this past Sunday, so 3-4 days ago. The disciples had seen Jesus, but not all of them. At this point, actually, Thomas hadn't seen Jesus as yet. But there was a lot of excitement around. A lot of excitement. And the reason why there was so much excitement was because, well, plain and simple, the person that they thought was the Messiah had been crucified. The person that they are starting to believe is the Messiah has resurrected from the dead. And now, what does that all mean? Where does that go? Their idea that the Messiah would not die and would be a leader like unto David, well, that's blown out of the tub. And to make things even more confusing, he's died, he's resurrected, and now he shows up sometimes, but he doesn't show up all the time, and he's somewhat elusive. He's resurrected. Isn't it funny how so many people say we believe in the resurrection? Which, by the way, most of you who have gone to church have said that, and maybe you didn't believe it in your heart because you didn't think about it, but you said those words. But you really don't even know what a resurrection is. The story that we have today from the gospel is an interesting story. It's the road to Emmaus. So let me begin with prayer, and then I'm going to read this story. Heavenly Father, help us to not be so concerned with what resurrection is, but just help us to be totally focused on being with your Son Jesus. Then it really doesn't matter what resurrection is, because where he is, we will be also. And what he is, we will be also. In the name of your Son Jesus, we pray. Amen. On the first day of the week, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that has taken place in these last days?" He asked him, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find the body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The road to Emmaus. The road to Emmaus. Cleopas and, well, let's call the other person your name. They were walking along, 7-mile journey from Jerusalem. They were sad, and they didn't recognize him. Mary was sad and didn't recognize him when they were face to face. Depression can do that to you, can't it? But also distraction can do it to you. I got to ask you a question. I mean, how many of you are having a hard time in the midst of all what we're in, keeping track of what day it is? You know, I thank God every day for the garbage men, because I know that on Monday is garbage and recycling, on Wednesday is yard waste, and I know that on Thursday is garbage. If I didn't have that, I think I'd be lost. Every day would just be Groundhog Day repeating itself. When you're depressed, when you're overwhelmed with stress, it's very hard to keep focused. And Cleopas and that person with your name were in those very straits. Jesus came up. He wanted to see what they knew. He wanted to see how they would respond. And he engaged them. Isn't it that the way God is? I mean, God is always with us, always waiting for the opportunity, but he's a gentleman. He doesn't break in and say, "Here I am." Because to be honest with you, unlike us, I don't know that God's got a very big ego. I think he's got a great self-esteem, but not a big ego. So he doesn't have to draw attention to himself. It's not all about him. It's really about life. So Jesus asks the question, what things were going on in Jerusalem? What are you talking about? Bit by bit, little by little, they tell what was going on. Then all of a sudden, Jesus, who they still don't recognize, explains to him all that the scripture said about the Messiah, about him, without still revealing himself. They're given hope in the midst of depression, a light at the end of the tunnel. They get to the place where they're going to stop. They're in Emmaus. They're going to go in and have dinner. Jesus appears like he's going to keep going. But they urge him to stay, and he stays. And as he breaks the bread and gives it to him, in that common meal, that communion, in that place where people become vulnerable with each other and are kindred, at that moment, their eyes are opened. Their eyes are opened and they recognize him. You know, throughout the years of being a priest, I have heard many times people say, "Well, do you have to have a special awakening, sort of, you know, where you know the date and the time of when you come to know the Lord? Or is it bit by bit, little by little?" I think this story explains something very clearly. At least it does to me, that all of us come to know Jesus in our own separate ways, in the ways that he ordains for it to happen, based on what I believe, the way we're receptive to have it happen. For some of us, it's an instant. I have to say, for me, I finally really came to that place where it was just this moment. But for so many others, little by little, bit by bit, drip by drip almost, we are filled. God is at work in your life. Yeah, our lives have changed right now, but our lives haven't ended. They just changed. Change is always going to happen. It's inevitable. And yet if we fight the change, then we miss the opportunity that the change provides. If we fight the change and want it back, then what are we really relying on? Are we relying on God and about living life? Or are we relying simply on, I got my routine, I got my stuff, I want all the things in the right place? The very first car I ever really owned on my own was a 1973 Chevy Vega. It was a wonderful little car. It was great. I had the fake wood on the outside because at that point I was surfing a lot and I wanted it to look like a Woody. It was a station wagon, so it was a small station. So if I could go to the beach and I could just stretch out in the back, and many a night I slept in that vehicle, just sort of stretched out with my legs stretched out all the way out. It was great. I was driving around, though, with one of my closest friends at a time. His name was Mike King. And Mike looked at me one day as we were driving. Actually, I believe we were going snow skiing. And as we were driving up there, he looked at me and he said, "You know why you like this car so much? It's because you can sit in the driver's seat, open every door and roll down every window in the entire car with your short arms. You got control over everything in this little place." It was my little world. I wonder how many of us right now are trying to preserve our little worlds when we ought to get rid of it. I wonder how many of us right now want that little world back, and yet it never really did give us life. Might have given us the illusion of safety. Might have given us the illusion of control. But it didn't give us life. You see, life comes when we surrender ourselves to God. And to do that, he's going to fill us up drip by drip, bit by bit, little by little, in one fell swoop or over a long period of time. Because what he wants more than anything else is for us to recognize him, because he's always recognized us. And he's always been with us. And he'll always be with us forever. Easter is about hope in the midst of darkness. Right now, for a lot of us, we have a very good quantity of darkness. But know this, the hope that's provided for us is greater than that darkness. I pray this day that you are filled with the power of God, with the Spirit of God, and with the hope of God, which, by the way, tie it all together, put a bow on it. It's called faith. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.